right, Ryan Rucco calling in just a moment. He's with ESPN, the YES Network. He's got a podcast out with CC Sabathia. We'll talk about that. You guys see that The Last Dance is now officially in the rear view, and almost immediately ESPN promoting a Tom Brady documentary that will be a 9-episode doc. So I'm assuming 9 hours of Tom Brady that's coming out in 2021. And I'm not surprised. I think they realized, you know, how big of a hit this was. If you're going to put content out featuring the greatest of all time, people are going to be intrigued by that. I just can't picture a Brady doc getting anywhere close to the coverage that the Jordan one did for a couple of reasons. One, I hope by 2021 we're not dealing with COVID-19 the way that we are right now.
Right.
And Jordan basically disappeared for 20 years, right? Like, we haven't really seen him. We haven't heard from him. Brady's in our face all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we still see him playing.
When did they start taping this with Brady? Like, when did they start recording?
I don't think it's kind of a recording thing. I think they're going back into the archives, and I'm sure they're going to be interviewing people. I don't know exactly what the timeline is. It's not coming out until 2021, so they're still working on it, clearly.
Would you watch now? I'm sure you would, and we all would, but would you watch it if the exclusive rights were this year? The camera following Brady for one full football season this year.
In Tampa?
Year.
Yeah,
in
I would.
Tampa. See, I agree.
I think that might be almost cooler in a way because, like, I can't imagine there's just been a camera following Brady for years. There hasn't been.
Right.
And the Jordan doc, what became clear was they allowed access for a full year. And as a result, they got audio and video from practice, audio and video from the back rooms, on the bus, on the train, on the plane, on the hotel rooms, whatever. And if you didn't have access to that for the past 20 years, how are you going to get it for a Brady documentary? It's one thing to see game tape and a couple of interviews that maybe we haven't seen for a while, but I don't know. I don't know if the access is going to be anywhere close to what we saw out of Brady, where if you were to do it for this upcoming
season. Tom Brady's going to have to sit in a hotel room every Monday night for the next 6 months and be like, they're going to be like, what about that play right there? What happened there? And he's going to have to tell them what happened. And Gronk, and then, but the thing is, how are they going to get Belichick or anybody with the, you know, New England organization? They're going to say, screw you, I'm not contributing to that. No way.
You're right, but here's the other thing, too. Would you tune in if Tampa is, what, like 7-9 this year? You know what I mean? Like, I tuned in, obviously, to go back into Jordan's career, but it was also amazing to watch them win.
Right. Winning was a part of the ingredient, like a big ingredient, for
sure.
Exactly. The fact that you knew that they were winning, so this whole journey was going to see them, you know, start slow, the Pippen stuff, the Rodman stuff, and then eventually they get it done. I do think if it were an upcoming season like this season, and to your point, the Bucs go 7-9, it takes away a lot of it. But it's also Brady. You know, there's very few guys where if you put together a documentary, like they're calling the shot 9-episode documentary. Like, that is, this is a new era we're talking about, revolving around specific players, and I'm not sure there's many more out there once you get past Jordan and Tom that could give you 9 hours of material and keep people captivated for 9 hours. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I have to believe there's going to be someone next on the list, and I'm not sure who that is. But maybe our next guest could know that. You know him from ESPN, the YES Network. He's got a podcast out, the R2C2 podcast with CC Sabathia. Back on Overdrive, here's Ryan Rucco. What's up, Ryan? How you feeling about this Brady 9-episode documentary that's coming out in about a year?
Hey, man, I will definitely be excited to consume it whenever it's out. You know, I mean, I think, first of all, there's just, like, you know, there's a theatrical touch, obviously, to documentaries, and it allows us to see these, you know, figures that we're really familiar with in you know, sort of a more dramatic light. And you know what? He has a body of work that can easily fill 9 episodes. So I'll look forward to it.
Is Bill Belichick going to enlighten us with his presence on this doc, you think, or Kraft, or are those guys like, you know what, I'm not contributing to that. He's gone now, I'm not doing it.
Good question. Maybe he's already contributed to it without knowing. I'm not sure how they're going about it, but I would hope after everything that that those two did for each other, if Bill ever wanted Tom and a Doc, he'd do it for him, and if Tom ever wants Bill, he'd exchange the favor.
Yeah, I think Robert Kraft for sure. I mean, Kraft he hasn't turned his back on Brady. I mean, he got 20 years out of Brady and 6 rings. Belichick is potentially a little bit more jaded and would be closer to the vest, I think, especially considering Brady is still playing. And I believe in 2 years, Tampa is in New England playing the Patriots. So I'm not sure Belichick will be that open to discussing anything that's currently happening, but you would think they'd have that level of respect for Brady. I mean, it's 20 years, 6 rings. Yeah, he left you, but he's still the greatest player in franchise history, and no one's close. But in terms of, you know, where the next documentaries could go, there's a Houston Astros one coming up with ESPN. And I think if there's one team in pro sports that has benefited from the shutdown and our lives just being turned upside down and our focus stepping away from baseball and sports in general, it would
be Houston.
They got
the ultimate Friday news dump, didn't they?
Big time. Like, who's talking about Houston right now, Ryan? No one even cares about Houston.
Well, yeah, they certainly have been, you know, I mean, they have benefited as from a PR standpoint, certainly, of what's gone on with our world and sports, no doubt about it. You know, I'm sure that, you know, when we get back to baseball and, you know, we allow ourselves to be a little more distracted from the, you know, the greater issues at hand, we'll find ourselves, you know, thinking more about what they did, and as we watch Astros games, and then when the documentary does come out, sign language on Quibi, I'm sure that'll bring it back up. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because it was like an everyday story for so long, and you know, obviously there's been only one everyday story ever since COVID-19 blanketed our planet. So the Astros haven't had to hear much about that because people just want to know if there'll be sports at all.
Right, and they know they're not going to be in the stands either. Right. So, like, even if and when they come back and play in a month and a half, Houston's not got to deal with – they were supposed to be in Toronto this week. They were supposed to be in Toronto earlier this week, and it would have been,
right,
I think, a packed house. And I think a lot of it would have been, hey, we want to go down there and just destroy these guys. And
well,
it's not going to happen.
We were seeing some of that even in spring training, right, guys? Like, you know, seeing the reactions that the Astros were getting, and it was becoming like, you know, either a daily social media occurrence or a daily, you know, Sports Center occurrence, you know, where you were seeing some highlight from an Astros game that really just surrounded the reaction from the crowd to certain players. And as like some of their regulars were starting to get in games more. So, yeah, I mean, no question about it. It's definitely, you know, going to be a completely different atmosphere. And you wonder if, you know, by the time, you know, the Astros actually are playing in front of fans, let's say it's the 2021 season, you know, what kind of reaction is there then? You know, I'm sure in certain places, you know, like the Bronx, you know, there will still be a rude greeting, but I'm sure in some others, you know, a lot of the, you know, fire will have been put out.
We're chatting with Ryan Rucco. You can hear him and see him on the YES Network, ESPN, and the co-host of the R2C2 podcast with CC Sabathia. I noticed, and I read a report earlier this morning, that some of the players in baseball, and some of them are willing to put their names on it, are pushing back on some of the health conditions or safety conditions that were put forward by the owners that came public earlier this week, like no spitting, no high fives, no fist bumps. If there's a man on second, you step back 6 feet, and then you hold him in the bag
that,
or first
man.
Bag. I hear you, but this is what I said earlier in the week, and I know it's a cynical view, but I think it's an accurate view. The owners are going to throw everything at the wall at the players and say, here, you want safety? Here's safety. We're going to do this, that, and the other, and then the players are going to fall into the trap and come back and say, well, we don't want that, and now the owners are going to be like, well, we tried. Hey, we did our part. Is it really about safety? Is it really about money? But I totally expected the players to come back and be like, we don't want to play in those conditions. But how do you see that playing out, Ryan? Like, how are they going to handle what the owners are putting on the table and maybe what the players are actually looking for when they get back on the field?
You know, I really, I don't know. And obviously, you know, with all of this, right, there's no blueprint. So we're all just trying to navigate these completely foreign waters as best we can. And, you know, I think ultimately something will get done and something will be agreed upon because there's too much motivation on both sides. And I think both sides have a broader understanding of just how valuable taking advantage of this time is for the sport of baseball. But, you know, what that ends up looking like, I don't know, because I agree. I mean, I was just going through some of the CDC guidelines here for how schools can reopen if they're going to have in-person classes in the fall, et cetera. And I'm like, man, this just seems like tangibly to be able to pull this off. Like, you know, students have to keep 6 feet apart. How do you tell a bunch of six-year-olds that they constantly have to be 6 feet apart? Like,
no,
it's
way.
Just,
you can't.
I don't think you can. And so, you know, I would think that, you know, one thing that we are seeing is, you know, a massive scale up in testing, right? And it's it may have started slow, but it certainly has accelerated exponentially. And I wonder, and this is just me surmising, you know, with hearing hints of medical things, but obviously without being a medical expert myself, you know, I wonder if we get to a point of where you have, you know, rapid test results that are readily available and that have been scaled up, which, you know, may not be too far in the distant future, if you would just say, hey, you know, rather than make all of these exceptions, we are gonna literally swab you when you come through the door every day, like a metal detector, you know? Yeah. And I know people have talked about frequent testing a couple times a week, but, like, I wonder if it ends up more than that, if it's, like, every single day, you know, we're going to test you. Because to me, if you actually can, you know, accomplish that in a time frame that allows for you to have your 82-game season, that ends up much more feasible than trying to implement all of these other aspects within the competition. And, you know, and I think you could feel just as comfortable as you would otherwise. And you know what? You're probably at some point all going to get some sort of a positive test. But if you're testing people literally every single day they walk in the stadium, well, now you have, you know, a much better chance of putting a cap on it once it happens. You know, I don't know if that is, obviously, I'm sure that's something that's being looked at. I don't know what the timeline is on the feasibility of that, but to me, that would be what I would be hoping for, because it just seems like there are some of these things that you just won't be able to really, you know, pull off in order to get baseball.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that, and hopefully we get to that point sooner rather than later. You can find him on Twitter, at Ryan Rucco. See him, hear him on ESPN, the YES Network. Check out the podcast, the R2C2 podcast with himself and CC Sabathia. Great catching up with you as always, Ryan. Stay safe, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Be well.
So, yeah, I think what he said is about as ideal as you can expect. I mean, perfect
right.
World scenario. We just get rid of COVID-19, but we're not living in a fantasy world. That's not going to happen. But can testing between now and, let's say, the beginning of July, so in the next month and a half, can we get to a point where we're talking rapid tests? Like you're finding out the results in 5 or 10 minutes kind of on the spot. I don't know if that's possible or not, but if it is, I would think the sports leagues would invest in that. They'll pay for it. They'll set it up.
Yep.
And then if you do that and it's like, okay, you walk in the building, everyone's cleared, go play. Like, go do whatever you want. Go hit the cage, high five, hug it out, do whatever you want.
Right, because they've gone through the gauntlet. That's
right.
The biggest challenge for all of this is testing. If you know what people's status are, and I know they're out there, they're saying, well, there's false positives and you could be a carrier and all of that. But, you know, ultimately, if you're going through a gauntlet of tests and everyone's going through that, then you're going to have a level of comfort. And if somebody ends up getting it, then you can identify where the source is within that bubble. So I think it all comes back to testing, guys.